Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints, in particular, St. John Paul II in this series, to help us navigate the tumult of our brokenness and find the beauty and glory of our design, which reflects him.
Right.
And thereby know divine love and love between one another. That's moving to you.
That's pretty good, Dan. Maybe we should just end there.
How did it strike you?
Just the beauty of understanding. I think first, the idea of discovering God's beauty, his love for us, responding to that, and then responding to that in one another. That's beautiful. That is the purpose of marriage. That is the purpose of marriage.
You know, it's interesting. I love nature. We live in
we're very blessed.
We're so blessed to live at a retreat center in 64 acres with a beautiful lake, and the grounds, we've made them more and more beautiful, and I don't ever want to leave here, you know. It's hard for me to leave. But when I was a kid, I was drawn to nature for a couple of reasons. One, it was safe. Whenever we would go to nature, it was a time when I could disappear. Probably my parents shouldn't have done that, because I wandered for hours in mountains and streams and places where bears eat little kids and they disappear, and I never did, you know. But I was drawn to it. And my heart ached for it, but I didn't know why. And it's sort of part of this whole thing.
I think when I think about, when I've taken time to reflect on when were my earliest experiences of God, when we would go camping, I would sleep on top of the VW van. You know, my uncle would throw a mattress up there, and I always volunteered to crawl up there with my sleeping bag.
Good thing you didn't roll over.
You know, honestly, I was terrified to do so. But I would lay there and stare at the stars, you know, and it was a prayer. It was the beginnings of prayer, of the Lord calling out to my heart and saying, "You're mine. You're mine. That's and beautiful. You bring me delight, and I love you." So this beautiful design, this amor complacentiae, this predilection of our Lord's favor for us as his children.
His love to delight in us.
His love to delight in us, his special love for us beyond all of creation, draws us then in our gift to one another in humanity. He creates woman for man and man for woman and draws them together. It's beautiful because that drawing of one another to each other allows us to enter into that. It's a grace that that allows us to be naked and before one another without shame, naked without shame before one another, you know, in vulnerability, and which is very, very hard. You know, we talked about wounds in the last one. And that leads us to want deeper union. The physical union of husband and wife, the marital bed, this desire to cooperate with the Lord and bring forth children. That's all part of his design through this beauty that he's created in each other, in humanity.
And back to using the method of a counter design or an opposing design. I've heard this argued. The world is a terrible place. I can't bring a child into this world.
Yeah.
And when you see it through this lens,
it's like, here's you how don't I, understand. That's the remedy.
So let me say it.
It's the remedy for your heart.
Right.
It's the remedy for the world.
Right. Let me say it in a way that the logic sort of becomes profoundly absurd. The world is an ugly place, and I refuse to add beauty to it. Mm-hmm. I refuse to be part of the solution.
No, I'm going to live with a contracepted heart and mind, and refuse to allow God's beauty and goodness to pierce my heart. Because to open up to what God has done, your design in like his design for you, to open up to that place of radical vulnerability, that standing before him, you know, naked without shame, standing before one another, naked without shame, and allow him to move in that to bring forth children. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. That is the remedy for all that ills the world. That's why the enemy hates marriage so much.
He hates us. Yeah.
He hates us so terribly. He does not want us to open up to that vulnerability, that beautiful place of creativity and the receptivity of love and giving to one another. And you're a gift to me and I'm a gift to you. And let's give each other this gift in love for the Lord as an act of worship, right? That's the remedy.
That's the remedy. And we got to participate.
For all of the darkness.
Yeah, got to participate. Right? You know, one of my favorite things to say in the South, when you people see you, they always say, how you doing? But they don't expect a response. It's not part of the culture. Mm-hmm. It's not, oh, I'm great. How are you? That's not, the other side isn't. It's just, how you doing is like saying hi.
Yeah.
My favorite thing to say is, how you doing? It's, I'm better because you exist.
Right.
And about 1 out of 50 people will look at me and say, thank you. Why did you say that?
Yeah.
And here's the answer. Because you exist and you're an image bearer of God. Mm-hmm. And because you exist, there's something good in you and the world is better.
Yeah.
Because you exist.
Right.
And so many people don't have that sense about them.
They don't have that sense about their spouse.
Right. Yeah.
I really want to stay there with this, because that's where it starts.
Well, and they don't have it about themselves.
They don't have it about themselves, and they can't, you know, do it for their spouse. But, you know, we can all look out in the world and see the war and devastation that's going on, the conflict, the hatred, you know, all of this chaos, this brokenness of, you know, and why would we certainly add to the surplus population, right? But it starts in the hearts, in our hearts with the Lord and our hearts with one another. So this beauty for one another becomes a certain kind of quest, right? It drives us.
The desire to know that beauty,
right?
To touch it, to be a part of it.
To be a part of it.
To
contemplate it.
Yeah.
We think about sacred art and the effect of sacred art. We know a priest that was converted because he was studying, you know, art history. Those kind of things, you know, the contemplation of the beauty of the other and the gift they are to us becomes a quest to then provide, to then, you know, build and to cooperate in this beautiful gift of this life together that he's calling us to. And you know, I think it's interesting, but when we talk about what St. John Paul II reveals in this writing about the beauty, the appreciation of beauty and how important it is, and like the importance of what it has done for creation history, for salvation history, is the ultimate beauty was the resurrection.
Hmm.
The glorified state of our Lord when he rose from the dead, you know. And in order for the apostles to make it, in order for the apostles to be able to appreciate or to even grasp or receive the truth of that beauty, to let it permeate every cell in their body so that they would be driven out to share it with the entire world and all of humanity, had to start with, he says, the transfiguration. That John and James saw the beauty. It was
Peter.
Peter and John. I'm sorry. Peter and John see the beauty of the transfiguration. It ruminates in their heart.
And prepares them.
It prepares them for the passion. It prepares them for the agony and the scourging and the crucifixion and the ultimate death of our Lord. And it gives them the strength to hold on through that, so that they can receive the beauty of the resurrection. It plants the seeds, right? And so to go back to marriage, right? The beauty of one another, when a man and a woman encounter one another for the first time, think about what it does to them. You know, I think back on our courting and the anticipation, the beauty. Like every word, I hung on every word that you said.
I'm so sorry about that.
Sorry, but I was so enamored with you and the Lord was moving in me in such a way that I could not have resisted ending up married to you. I don't think if I had tried, because it was so intense. And the beauty of our courtship, because we really did court, we were in two different states, you know, and we were trying to follow the Lord's design. But that movement was a type of transfiguration. I'm allowed to see the beauty of what's to come.
You know, I just had a revelation. I'm sorry to interrupt you because it's so important, but I've heard this said that, and it's also, I know from modern science about the body and chemicals and all of that, the way we're designed is that anticipation. So we see the object of our desire, the anticipation of the object of our desire gives us a huge rush of energy, not to use the other, but to properly pursue and give yourself to the other.
Right.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I was experiencing.
And that gets in that also that rush and all of that, it gets you past all of the brokenness you're going to discover as you come closer.
Well,
gives you the strength.
I would actually argue
the passion.
Yeah, I want to talk about, yeah, because that's the actually passion. Where
I mean,
I'm
the
going.
Suffering, yeah.
That's where I'm going with this. So I think let's talk about that when we get back from the break.
Right.
Okay.
Sounds good.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father, so there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation. You know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life. Those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will titled Finding Peace in the Storm with commentary by Dan Burke.
Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. This is Dan and Stephanie Burke, and we're talking about the wisdom of God's design,
right,
and beauty, and before the break, how the recognition and anticipation of participating in touching not controlling or using, but I'm talking about in a whole, the holiest way, participate in touching, sensing, experiencing beauty
in the other,
strengthens us
as husband and wife, right? Yeah,
motivates us to do what the transfiguration motivated the apostles to do,
right? Right.
Which is to endure what's coming, which is suffering.
Right. Right.
Okay.
So, because that was like, wow, what a beautiful, incredible revelation. You know, what the Lord did for the apostles, he does for us as husband and wife, right? Because, you know, I often talk at our marriage retreats, you know, that we feel ourselves incredibly drawn to our spouse. They smell good, you know, everything they do is right. You know, we've got rose-colored glasses. We have this beautiful drive towards the other person that God has placed within us, right? And hopefully it's rightly ordered, right? It's not destructive. We tried very hard to court properly. Praise be Jesus Christ, we managed to make it.
Yeah, not without stumbling and fumbling around a
and
bit.
And struggles, yeah.
But it was a dominant theme.
It was a dominant theme, and it was such a beautiful grace that our wedding night was truly our first night. You know, mm-hmm. That was a such an incredible gift to me, and a gift to you, and a gift to us, to our mm-hmm. future. So, you know, that, you know, so what did the Lord do, right? He in essence helped me look past all of your brokenness and wounds. You did try to scare me away. You told me all your wounds and brokenness.
I gave her a 3-hour tour of my skeleton closet.
Right. And you really did. You wanted to see if I would run. We were very vulnerable. We opened up all our closets and everything and sharing our brokenness with one another. And then you also were looking past all of my brokenness and sin. And there was this beautiful draw of, this is the person that I'm supposed to spend my life with. Like, I remember walking into the church, and I'm standing at the back of the church, and you're up. You know, there were special chairs to one side of the altar for us to sit for our little tiny wedding what was that place?
Cascade, Colorado.
It's a beautiful church. If you're ever Holy Rosary Chapel. If you're ever in Cascade,
Colorado,
go check out this
little tiny
church. It's
in between Colorado Springs and Manitou, Woodland Park.
No, Manitou's right.
Woodland Park, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's this beautiful little place. And as I'm standing there and you're standing up at the altar waiting for me, I had complete joy, peace, confidence. I knew that I was in the right place.
But you didn't know what you were in for.
No, I didn't know that. But I did know that I was where I was supposed to be.
Mm.
I had so much grace and joy that day. And I remember going up to the altar and you leaned over and you whispered in my ear, I adore you.
Mm.
And you still say that to me.
I do.
So it was very beautiful. Well, what does this have to do, you know, with all this stuff about how the Lord uses beauty to drive and to prepare our minds and to make us creative and to drive forth his purposes, right? But that in our marriage, that drive prepared us for the challenges, prepared us for the crosses that had to come. Why did we have to have crosses? Your past wounds, my past wounds, the generational brokenness that had to be worked out through our suffering. Why? To prepare us for greater oneness. As we got through each one of those crosses, not letting go of one another, even though there was some really scary moments, we kept holding on and looking up. The beginning, it was very broken and very amateur. You know, it was like
a lot of stumbling and fumbling.
Yes.
Because we didn't have, I mean, we were reading all of this kind of thing. We were reading theology of the body. We were studying Catholic theology of marriage. We were trying to, before we even got married, orient our hearts and minds. What's really happening here? What does the church teach? Yeah. How do I orient myself to, you know, all of that reality? So we were working hard, but
the soil of our hearts wasn't ready.
Yeah, neither of us had. I mean, your stepfather and your mom were very good people.
Yeah.
And modeled some things that were very good. My dad, good guy, modeled a few things that were very good, but very, very broken. On the other side, extraordinarily broken. I mean, my home was a wound factory.
Yeah.
But so we didn't have any, and we didn't have any help other than our spiritual director.
Yeah.
Directors, which we took seriously. We both were in spiritual direction when we first got married.
Yeah.
Well, shortly after, anyway. Yeah. I was in when I think we got married, but because I knew I was messed up and needed help. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was a lot of stumbling and fumbling. I think the saving grace is we learned really fast.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I want to say this, and I know we've got a lot of other good things to talk about, is the practice of daily mental prayer. The foundational disciplines of what it means to follow Jesus.
I don't know what we would have done without it.
That's what I think saved us, in the sense that when you are near him, he reveals yourself to you.
He gives you grace. Every time you pray, every time you allow him into your heart, mind, soul, and body, then he gives you the grace to deal with what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you have that beautiful relationship with him, as a couple, we would go to those crosses, and when we were like breaking underneath it, he would say, look up, and
look this way.
We'd run to confession, we'd run to the Eucharist, we'd run to adoration, we'd run to our spiritual directors, and we would take a deep breath, and we'd come back to one another. And even I just recently said this, I'm in it until death do us part. Mm. Till death do us part. The Lord has given you to me, and I'm not letting go under any circumstances. God, I'm not, you know, and so that I think is really beautiful. So you think about how the graces of our attraction, this beautiful predilection that he gave us for one another, that he gives to all men and women as he draws them together in order to, you know, join in holy matrimony to bring forth children, prepared our hearts for all the graces, all the crosses and the graces that would come from those crosses, to then lead us to greater oneness, which is the ultimate goal.
Like with each other and
with God. Each other and with him. Mm-hmm. First with him and then with one another. And like there's always more work to be done, which is amazing, because you think you're like, no, we're doing pretty good. And then he, you know, reveals another layer of the onion.
I wish we had more time. I want to read something and just describe. Beauty exists to, this is a quote from Norwood. Beauty exists to awe us into work, and work exists to raise us from the dead. And I want to tell you, emotionally, I was near death when we met. And I remember that photograph of you Tina and Abby, your aunt and uncle's house. And I was so stunned by your beauty. And awed by it. And that you would talk to me. It did raise me from the dead. Mm-hmm. And it did motivate me to get to work, because I was also very physically sick. I've had many huge bouts in my life with near terminal illness, mm-hmm. or terminal illness, but didn't kill me. And I was in that realm.
Right.
And
you could have easily given up.
But seeing that beauty and then discovering you beyond the external appearance, which was also beautiful to me, did exactly what John Paul II says here. Mm-hmm. It woke me out of sleep, out of this stupor, and gave me a purpose, a reason to live. And that is what, when we can see the beauty of the other, which I know it's so hard. I know there's people listening going, but you don't know what he's been like for 20 years. And there's women going, you know, there's women, you know, men going, but you don't know what she's been like for 20 years. And getting past all the crappy kind of distortions of the beautiful image that we are in Christ, right? I know that's hard, but we're talking about from a more pure
standpoint.
That's
why people need to come to marriage retreats.
Right, right.
You know.
And our next one is coming up. We usually do them on February, around Valentine's Day. So keep an eye out on spiritualdirection.com. And that's really where we've got to end this today. Yeah. Keep an eye out on spiritualdirection.com. It's divine intimacy and marriage retreats. And if you're a subscriber to spiritualdirection.com, you'll get that. But also, if you're catching this show through YouTube, I know we're grateful to be on EWTN Radio. But if you're catching this on YouTube, if this is helping you and you want to help us in return, hit the subscribe button, share this with other people, help them to know. And if this is helping you in your marriage or you have questions, put it in the comments in the YouTube video.
Share it with others, right? Share it with those who need to hear this message and maybe need a breath of fresh air.
So you have the last word.
Well, I'll read the last sentence.
Yeah.
You know, he says, this beauty and this communion are not goods that have been lost, irretrievable. They are goods to be redeemed, retrieved. And in this sense, every human person is given to every other. Okay. So this beautiful gift of one another. And he says, every woman is given to every man, and every man is given to every woman, for us to look up, to understand,
to help us to look up,
to help us to look
to
up,
to see God,
to see His beauty,
and to say
see
yes
his
to God,
delight for us and for one another,
and to wake up and work with that.
Okay. Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May He preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.